No matter how hard we practice, our motivation for practice is always based in some amount of self-centeredness. The act of truly seeing this self-centeredness is itself Buddha. To awaken to the reality of our delusion is itself Buddha. To realize delusion is to be a Buddha. This is a relief because the mind endlessly churns out thoughts. Thoughts which attempt to represent ourselves and reality and our relationship with reality. Thoughts which tell us stories about how things are. And thoughts are not reality. I've used the metaphor before, they're like Google Maps. And they are not the road itself. And yet we get lost in our Google Maps of the world, in our imaginings and thoughts. And it happens with such frequency and with such believability that we can spend months or even years caught up in particular notions of ourselves, of our lives, of our practice, and have no idea that it was a delusion all along. Quietly maintaining our stories. This is not a sin. This is what it is to be a human being. So we use this strong word in Buddhist practice, delusions. Not so much as a condemnation as a description. Of course, thoughts are not the thing itself. They are metaphors and symbols. The confusion is that we often believe them to be the thing itself, to be life itself. Sometimes we believe them more than we believe our senses. So our practice is simply to notice thoughts as thoughts. And this may seem like nothing much, and it isn't anything much. Why make it into more than it is? And yet it is quite liberating. Many times in our lives, all of us, I'm sure, have found ourselves caught up in stories about the nature of reality, not realizing that it was a story, and suffered. And then maybe sometime we realized that our thoughts were causing suffering for us and we were released from our suffering when we saw that it was just a story all along, something that we could let go of. This types of stories that we hear, the words that resonate with this might be words like forgiveness. Telling a story about how someone hurt us and needed to be punished and deserved this and that. And then eventually we just realized, this is a story. I'm actually hurting myself more than the other person, of course. And it's time to let it go. And we let it go and we're liberated. Something in just seeing that we are the ones hurting ourselves creates a softening and a letting go. And so that's our practice, is to sit and pay attention and notice these thought formations arising so that we can see them as thoughts. And this in and of itself is liberating. Nothing more that we need to do. Even amid delusion, we are still living within absolute universal reality. And even though we are living within absolute universal reality, we are still deluded as limited karmic selves. This is the reality of human life. In Zazen, it is not the I, the limited karmic self, that awakens to reality. Rather, it is the reality of the universe that is itself practicing and manifesting reality. What a beautiful statement. This, of course, from the reading we did together in our chant. Those who greatly realize delusions are Buddha's guidance in Zazen by Okumura. Once again, it is not the limited I, the limited karmic self, the little tiny mind, the ego, the thoughts that awaken to reality. Rather, it is the reality of the universe that is itself practicing and manifesting reality. This is an invitation to our non-dualistic practice of just sitting. Just sitting. The sound of a car on the street is just. Even thoughts can be received non-dualistically as just arisings that come and go. Sensations in the knees. Whose knees? There's nobody there. Just sensations. The complete falling away of self and other. Just reality manifesting as itself. Why divide a thing from itself? Creating self and other in the midst of this wonderful landscape of arisings. And so I wanted to say a few words this evening about how we actually sit, to concretize this a little bit. We're encouraged to sit upright, whether we're on a chair or a cushion. To do our best to be self-supporting with our backs upright rather than leaning back. If we're on a chair, feet flat on the floor. We have our hands in our cosmic mudra, left inside the right, thumbs touching. Or perhaps resting on our knees. Our eyes are half open. Or if we're sitting in front of Zoom, lately folks probably are sitting with eyes closed sometimes too. And when I begin sitting, I just bring my attention to my breath. I just come to the breath. And try to notice the fullness of the breath, including all the way down into my belly, the hara, the area of energy, way down low, below the diaphragm, noticing the breath and how deep it goes. Not changing it or controlling it, but just being with the sensation of breathing. Allowing inside and outside to disappear. just breathing. And of course, the world is present with this breath. The sensations of the body, the sounds of the world, letting everything be as it is. And as I sit, thoughts arise. This is normal. No need to be rid of anything, just noticing these thoughts as they come. In this vast landscape of the environment, which is like an ocean of presence, we might think of thoughts as just waves that float across the surface. Sometimes the waves appear big and we get quite caught up in them. In the tradition of Shikantaza, we just notice this. We notice the power of thought formations as thought formations. Sometimes they bring emotional power with them. Sometimes the emotional power arises first, it's in the cells of our body. And we notice feeling arising, and then we're trying to form a thought to sort out what the feeling is. All of these things born out of causes and conditions, and we just notice, allowing it all to unfold naturally, nothing to be rid of, nothing to be controlled, gotten rid of. Just giving it all space. None of it is you. None of it is me. Because everything that arises changes, does a little dance, has no fixed essence at all. And realizing this is our liberation. Why do this practice? Of course, we all began practicing for different reasons, but as our sutra says, our motivation for practice is always based on some amount of self-centeredness. We might imagine that that's a bad thing, but it's human. It's okay. It's okay to want to feel more at ease. It's okay to have hopes for yourself and for the world. We know that we're all connected so deeply. Practicing sometimes nourishes a sense of care and compassion and love for everyone with whom we feel connected, and that is all beings as we sit, we realize how vast our hearts are, how they include our thoughts, but also all beings. We sense no separation. It falls away, just falls away. Another story that just falls away, separateness. In this falling away of self and other, there is no reason to sit. There is no reason not to sit. Everything simply as it is. And as the self arises, stories form about this experience and tell us, I do it because of this and because of that. All part of being a human being. For me, I feel a great curiosity that brings me back to the cushion again and again. Curiosity about the Dharma. What is my true nature? How does this practice save all beings? And each time I return to the cushion, I'm given nothing that I can hold on to. And it is exquisitely beautiful. Thank you, everyone.